today because Pastor Tom is at a conference in Ottawa, Canada, and has asked me to lead the service today. So I'm glad to be able to do that, to be in the house of the Lord. I would like to ask first if there's any announcements. I have an announcement here that the women's group this week will meet at La Via Restaurant at 6:30 p.m. So go right to La Via Restaurant, is that right?
Yes,
La Villa. La Villa. Okay. La Villa, that's that Italian place on Timber Lake at 6:30 p.m. The men will be meeting at Carolyn's house at 7, right?
Yes.
7 o'clock. So men are encouraged to come to this meeting at 7, but the women, they go to La Villa at 6:30. Another announcement that I want to point out is the opportunity. It's here somewhere. You should have a bulletin insert. Last year, some of us went to Sight and Sound Theater to see a show. There's a great theater. They have, you know, live animals and music, and it's a fantastic thing. That dates for this year's trip are October 15th through 17th. And there's a little itinerary. We'll leave Thursday and have a show. It's called Daniel. Great show. And then have dinner, and then we'll have some time to have attractions. You can go to the Biblical Tabernacle Experience, or you can go to Hershey's Chocolate World. So, have those chocolate lovers. We can go to see that. And then we'll leave the next day. There's a hotel there at the Comfort Inn. So if you're interested in doing this, please let either Tom or myself know, and we'll start getting that on your calendar. Any other announcements for today? Yeah, Tony.
Just want to thank everyone for their prayers for my mom. She is recovering. It really, truly is a miracle that she pulled out of this. And we're just taking it every day because we know, you know, that this is just a temporary thing, that she still is in the hospice and will be. But for now, she's up, she's moving around, she's talking, she's talking about the future and letting go of the past. So I think thank you all for your prayers. It's what brought it around, I think. I believe.
Well, we thank you for your ministry of the Spirit and going there and helping with her. We'll make sure we continue to lift her up. What is her name again?
Barbara Smith.
Barbara Smith. So let's make sure we continue to lift up Barbara Smith and Tony in terms of the journey that they have had, to give praise for this time of healing and some restoration. That's wonderful. Any other announcements? Yeah, back there.
I also would like to thank everybody for the prayers and that I am on the beam.
Praise God. I saw Patty today, and she's a new person. She's got so much color back and energy, so I'm so glad to see her restored to her health and to her faith. That's great. Okay, it's good to see you too, Gwen. You look like you're doing good. Everybody's doing good. Any other announcements before we move to prayer requests? Yeah, an announcement from Martha here.
Prayer request.
That's fine.
It's more of a praise.
Okay.
John and Ann Hall's baby was born quite a few weeks early. He has been released from the hospital and is at home. So that's a wonderful praise. I think the parents are a little bit anxious, but
of course.
He's up to 5 pounds, and so things are going to go well.
It's always a tense time when babies come home and they're early, but that's great. So John and Ann Hall, their baby.
It's William Thomas.
William, little baby William. We keep him in our prayers. All right. Any other prayer requests or praises? Yeah, Carrie.
I have three.
Three.
One, keep Kim and Troy and my mom in your prayers. And as well, Webb and I will be going out of the country Saturday, but on the 16th, my mom will be going back to UVA to see if her cancer is gone or back. On the 17th, she'll be having an ablation. So just lift mom up in prayer because she's really stressed out because of the fire and not having housing, and that she can pull through all this. And also my friend Tiffany that we've been praying for who has cancer, she had 2 UVA appointments this week, and just keep her in prayer. And then also,
lot of care in the family. So definitely keep Darby and Tiffany and everybody that's suffering, that they might have some encouragement and support and hope this week and next week as they go to the hospital.
Yeah, I'm worried that she won't be here, but I mean, my brother's coming, so hopefully she'll be okay.
Yeah, pray for that. Thank you. Any other prayer requests or concerns or praises? Okay. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the ability to come together, to share our concerns and our lives together. You've given us each other. You've given us our hands and our feet and our mouths to be encouragement and helpers to each other. We praise you for the healing in lives, in the lives of Barbara, in the lives of Patty, in the special life of little William, who is doing better. We praise you that we can proclaim life in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray that you continue to help those who are helping those who are ill, especially for Tony, for all the caregivers. We pray for Carrie's mom, Darby, that she might do better, that she might get some encouragement, peace, a good report from the procedures that are coming up. We also lift up Tiffany. She's had such a battle, but she continues to lift you up, and we give you thanks for that ministry opportunity and praise for her life. We pray for those who are in other countries that are suffering, especially those in Israel, Palestine, Ukraine, Moldova. We pray for our Pastor Tom, that he might have a safe trip back to America, and that he might be able to be encouraged in the faith and guide us in all true love. In Jesus' name we pray. We enter always in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
We say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness. We lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, for the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear the witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
We're going to call ourselves to worship by reading Psalm 18, 148, by whole verses, and then we will stand and sing hymn 269, He Lives. Psalm 148, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. From the heavens, praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all ye angels of his. Praise him, all ye stars.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, heaven of heavens. And he waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created.
He made heaven stand fast forever and ever. He gave him the law to shine like the west wind.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous wind, doing his will.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees, and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and many birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and ladies, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name only is exalted. His splendor is over earth and heaven.
He has raised up strength for his people, and praise for all his wondrous sons, the children of Israel, a people who are near him. Hallelujah.
Please rise and join the hymn 269 He Lives.
Giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This ends the first reading.
Thank you.
joyful celebration of the resurrection feast may be reflected in our daily work and conversation. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, and we boldly come to your throne with the words that you have taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is 1 John 1, 1 to 2, 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life that was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have the fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. For if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This ends the second reading.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
All that we have is thine alone. I trust, O Lord, from thee.
Gospel reading is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Thank you. Please be seated. The words of my heart and meditation will still be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. So Easter's over. I hope you all had a good Easter. You know, Easter's a great day. Feast day. You know, if you notice that I always preach the week after feast. I preach after Thanksgiving and preach after Easter. We had a great Easter. I hope you did too. I hope you had a good dinner. Ham, green beans, right? Sure. And flowers maybe. Some people got some flowers and got some nice clothes. And hope you got some treats. You know, we went to Pennsylvania, and I did not get my shoe fly pie, but I did get plenty of chocolate. You know, and it's, you know, I understand someone maybe not liking shoe fly pie, but how can you not like chocolate, Tom? Seriously, chocolate's great. My wife was born in Hershey, PA, and if you ever want to get my wife to do something for you, all you gotta do is bribe her with chocolate. It's like, for sure, for sure. But Easter season is not just one day, just like Christmas is a season of Easter. So we actually are celebrating Easter now. That's why there's the white vestments. And Easter season actually lasts 7 weeks, ending at Pentecost, 15 days after Easter. You know, we really don't have a lot of early church Easter traditions. Probably the first time Easter is celebrated is maybe the second century, and then it's really called the festival of the Paschal Lamb, or Pascha. You might have heard it's an Eastern Orthodox tradition to call it Pascha instead of Easter. And if you really want to look at the traditions of the Easter bunny and the eggs, they're really not totally Christian, you know? And you can go into that, but really want to focus on the Lord. There was a technique back in the 60s, maybe John might remember this, where you could actually play music or sing some things backwards. And so they were kind of hidden, called backtracking. And some of the rock and roll bands had messages like some occult type of things. And you took the record and you turned it backwards and you'd find that. And well, there's this Christian band called Petra, they did a song. At the end of the song, you have this obvious backtracking. So, and they played for it, But when you play it backwards, it says, why are you looking for the devil when you should be looking for the Lord? So let's not look for the devil in these Easter Paschal traditions, but let's look to our Lord, as Psalm 148 says, praise him, the sun and the moon and all you shining stars. So that's who we're praising. But you know, really, what does Easter mean? You might have non-Christian friends that say, Easter's good, get some goodies, you know, you go to, you know, you get a feast and everything like that. But what does it mean to be a Christian? What does Easter mean for the Christian? And, you know, probably the simple answer is, you know, Jesus came to the world and died on the cross to forgive our sins. So if we put our faith in him, we are going to have eternal life. So that when we die, we go to be with Jesus. And then you just go about your usual day. And you know that when that happens, you're going to be in heaven. I think it meant a lot more for the first century Christians. It wasn't just fire insurance and you can have Easter bag and Easter bunnies and Easter eggs. Because when we read in the gospel today, the disciples are scared. They just saw their best friend leader get brutally crucified, and they're probably going to be next. There's a pastor named S.M. Lockridge who wrote a sermon 50 years ago about what it was like, especially that Friday before Easter. And I'm going to read a little bit of it, not a lot. And this is a translation. He was an African-American, so it might come out a little bit different, but I'm just going to read it. Hopefully I can get through the whole thing without getting emotional. You might have heard this. What happened on Friday? It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's sleeping. Judas is betraying him. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. Council's conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter's denying. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They roll him in scarlet, the crown, and thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See, Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood's dripping. His body's stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning, people are sinning, evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross. And they raise him up next to two criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his father, left alone and dying. Can no one can save him? Oh, it's Friday. You can help me here. But Sunday's coming. That's right. It's Friday. The earth trembles, the sky grows dark. My king yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just left. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands grim. And the rock is rolled into his place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. Sunday is coming. Amen. So they're in that room, and all they know is Friday. They're scared to death. And what happens? What happens? Jesus comes in their midst. Boom! And what does he tell them? Peace be with you. You know, sometimes when you're scared and you're alone, and you're in a situation, isn't it great just to have a friend show up and say, hey, I'm there. In some churches, they have a part of the service where you're supposed to shake hands with someone you know and greet, And I've always kind of felt uncomfortable with that, because there's people that want to, you know, tell the whole thing that happened to you for the whole week, and how's Jimmy doing, and everything like that. And there's people like myself that, what do I say to you? I don't know. So sometimes in churches, they kind of have this thing where you just turn to the person next to you and you just say, peace be with you. And so since Pastor Tom's not here, I'm going to have us do that. I'm going to have a time where we're just going to say, find someone next to you, shake their hand and say, peace be with you, and the person can say, peace be with you too. So.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, Mother.
I can't do
but hey, it's okay. Wasn't that great? You know, to have Jesus replace the fear they had with peace. Replace the sorrow with joy. I think the Bible is really underestimated when it says they were glad when they saw Jesus. I think it's more than just glad. I think it's that whole joy thing. You know, the joy thing, you find the 5-pound brick of pure gold in a field that's for sale for $1,000. And you go around and you plunk down your $1,000, and you have a $10 million thing of gold in the field, and you're just like, yeah, this is awesome. Their spirits were empty. Jesus filled them. They had doubt. Jesus gave them faith. It's like so many great Easter eggs in the Easter basket. But you know what's the thing that makes the Easter basket complete? The chocolate bunny, right? You gotta have the chocolate bunny. What's a chocolate bunny? It gives them the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that Pentecost is the time when the Holy Spirit is poured out with all the fire and the wind and the speaking in tongues and all of that. But actually, if you read the text carefully, Jesus breathed onto his disciples and gave them the Spirit. He took a deep breath and breathed and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. And that is what he gave us, was what's called the office of the keys. So when this limited outpouring of the Spirit, he didn't give tongues or loud voices, but he gave the gift of forgiveness. Remember, he had promised that. He had promised that to Peter. When he said, thou art Christ, he says, you're Peter, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Now, you know, there's kind of a problem with that when you look at it. Does that mean if I hold a grudge against you, then you're going to have to pay that off in purgatory, or you might not get to heaven? It doesn't mean that. And I'm not going to go through the Greek, because that whole translation misses a lot. The tenses are off, and basically, to boil it down, is you have the ability to forgive people. You have the ability to forgive people. The only time you're not going to forgive people is if people don't want to get forgiven. Phillips paraphrases that, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? You know? Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is hard. Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is ourselves. Sometimes people go the whole life without getting forgiveness for something that either they did or someone did for them. So, how do we work this thing out? How did it happen in the first century church? Are there any eyewitnesses that talk about forgivenesses that maybe that were there on that first Easter morning? Well, actually, we have some. One in particular, his name is John. Probably was one of the few disciples that actually was at the crucifixion, because Jesus pointed to him and said, behold thy mother, behold thy son. And he kind of writes about this, and actually it was in the lesson that David read today, 1 John. And what does he say? And I'll paraphrase it. This is the Andy Banky translation. Hey, we've seen this guy. We've heard him. We've ate with him. We've touched him. He is real, and it is awesome. And this guy gives us joy, and he gives us light. And John knew a lot about darkness. He was a Jew, and the plagues of the Israelites on the Egyptians, one was total darkness. And just a few days ago, what happened when Jesus was crucified? The whole world turned dark. And then Jesus comes and gives light. And that gives him great joy. And what does he say? That if we deceive ourselves, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth in it. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, guys, even if you can't forgive yourself, or even if you can't forgive that person that did that thing to you, God can. The church isn't the only person that has the keys. God's got an extra set. In Revelation, Jesus says, when he comes back to the tomb, "Behold, I have the keys in my hand, and they unlock Hades and death." So even if you can't forgive yourself, God can forgive. But not everybody believed. Remember? Who wasn't there? Thomas, right? And he said, "You know, sounds good, guys. But until I see his hands, and until I put my hand in his side, and put my fingers in his hands, I will not believe." And what happened? A week later, they were in another room. You notice they're still locked in. You know, it takes a little while for us to get the message. You know, I think even though we poke on Thomas as not believing, I think if they really believed, they wouldn't be locked in. But they're locked in. And he comes back. And he says to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." So what do you think it looks like? What do you think that would look like today, 2,000 years later? I don't know. What are the tangible things that other people can look at and believe? Maybe it would be a group of people, 30, 40 people, that maybe get together sometimes every day, maybe before Holy Week, at other people's houses, and share a meal, and read the scripture. Maybe it's people who dedicate their lives to restoring sight, or restoring hearing, or restoring sanity in people's lives. Maybe it's a person who works full-time in prisons, proclaiming freedom, spiritual freedom to the prisoner. Maybe it's a modern-day military officer who focusing all his energy not on mobilizing troops, but on providing equipment and gifts for hundreds of children in war-torn areas. Maybe it's a businessman who sees one person who's living in his car and doesn't have enough money to feed his wife and children, and out of his own means makes a donation and comes to the church, just like an axe, and the church sacrifices a little bit and gets that person back on their feet. Maybe that same church sacrifices and gives thousands of dollars to a medical clinic thousands of miles away to help those that are suffering. Maybe that's what it looks like. You think? Before I close, I want you to do something. I've asked Yuri to do one thing that was unusual, so I'll do another one. Hopefully I won't get in trouble. Kelly's going to be calling me on Monday. Just for a few minutes, can you just put your hands up? If you feel comfortable, you don't have to. And Thomas said, "I want to see his hands. I'm seeing his hands. hand to John, hand to Tricia, hand to Larry, hand to Tony, Tommy, Carrie, Whit, Fred, okay, Bill, Brennan, Lisa, Patty, Glenn, Robert, Kelly, Ann, Sarah, Dave, B, Karen, Mark, Mona, Jen, Martha, Carolyn. Yeah, Sue, Katie. This is the hands of Christ, guys. There's hands that aren't being lifted up, people that aren't here, we miss them. Love to see them come back. You can put your hands down now. So let us use these hands that others will see and believe. And by believing, they will have eternal life, not just when they die, but forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now we will continue our service by the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please rise and join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is our duty and our joy to give you thanks and praise, Lord God of heaven and earth, because you are continually renewing your work of creation and transforming it to show your glory through resurrection. With your touch, you formed us from the dust of the earth. You raised your people from slavery in Egypt. You bound them to you through your covenant on Sinai. And you made yourself known to them in exile and the promised land. In the cross of Jesus, you take into yourself the scars of our sin. And in his resurrected body, you invite us to touch the wounds of your love. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God, power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Forgiving God, your son's disciples cowered behind locked doors, and yet in him you visited them on the evening of the resurrection and breathed on them the spirit of peace. Breathe that Holy Spirit upon us now, that your church may know the power of your forgiveness. And these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper, when the disciples took bread and gave thanks, broke the bread and gave it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and he gave thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you do it, in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Lord and God, intimate Savior of our lives, and cosmic ruler of the universe. In Jesus, you are the substance of things hoped for and the knowledge of things unseen. Visit any who struggle under the shadow of doubt. Minister among all who suffer beneath the claims of oppressive rule. Resurrect your children, your church, and your earth. Bless those who have not seen and yet believe. And shape your wounded body, the church, to let the world see you through its scars. Lift every voice to sing your Easter glory until the day when all stand before your throne in eternal communion with one another and with you, ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our Lord Jesus knew that we are weak. And he knew that he needed to remind us of him. He gave us a physical representation of him, like he gave to Thomas, showing hands. He gave us the church. He gave us each other to show us that he is real. And he gave us the Last Supper, the Eucharist. That through faith, all those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and love Christ in sincerity can come forth and share in the very body and blood of Christ. As real as this bread and wine is as real as God is to you. Come, the feast is prepared. Let us share the banquet of our Lord.
That was great. Thank you so much for allowing me the presence of serving you the body and blood of Christ. Music's great today. I just really feel inspired by the words, and I appreciate the hymn. So let us rise and sing hymn 304, Crown Hymn of Many Crowns. Gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his countenance and give you his peace. Amen.